Hey, welcome back. It's your Agribusiness Show. It's show number 636 in our original It's Your Business series. In this hour, let's see, we're going to talk soybeans, storage units, farm equipment, ethanol, who's trading from South Dakota overseas, ag commodities, cover our farm properties, renewals, and ag lending. And we'll share what's trending at igrow.org and also with our Secretary of State in our Secretary of Agriculture in Pierre. But let's roll the dice. I have never introduced a guy that way, but I figured with Rick Shields, our Midwest Communication Farm Director, that's what we do in agriculture all the time. Don't we roll the dice?
Roll the dice, absolutely. That's what we do. We'll do it again this morning.
We're up and we're running. At least the dice didn't go cockeyed on us this morning.
That's right. That's right. Okay, it's cat's eye here. What's going on?
Indeed. Weather's still an issue. I visited over the best breakfast in South Dakota yesterday morning with a son who works for the government and with his dad, who has about 300 acres, and he said despite the story last week, more soybeans being planted as far as a percent of increase with soybeans versus corn. He said, hey, we do our own thing. We rotate crops. Do you think that would be a common feeling if we would talk to farm families all across the Midwest?
Yeah, I think it would. Here in South Dakota, corn acreage, they put it at 400,000 fewer acres than was the case planned for last year. So, about, what, a 4% decrease, they say, but it's still a big corn acreage across the corn-producing states. And the largest increase in soybeans up to the north in North Dakota, soybean acreage growing up there by just over 6%, record high nationwide, as a matter of fact, they're looking at this year. So corn down, soybeans are up in that first critical report of the year anyway, Bill.
Rick Shields is our Midwest Communication Farm Director. The other thing that we picked up this morning from Lucas Lynch was that he's headed to Washington for a hearing on transportation that's scheduled there this week. The governor is sending a letter along, and apparently Lucas will testify as well about the need for it. Question is still cars to move some grain.
Yeah, grain is an issue. Ethanol is also included in that. Got some comments from Bob Dineen, RFS president and CEO, to the effect that the ethanol production declined by 80,000 barrels per day December through March period. So a big decline there. They're of course pointing the finger at the weather, which has caused kind of a backlog in terms of getting cars and getting product to market there, too. So it's an industry-wide phenomena which is going on, some of it, which, of course, a big part of it, which is weather-related, like the sound of the forecast we just heard there. That's going to kind of help ease that situation.
Other breaking news on the farm front we should know about, Rick?
We'll keep an eye on the drought monitor situation. Now, they release those numbers usually along about, well, the early week, but about Tuesday or so. But definitely looking pretty good for South Dakota in last Monday's numbers, which came out on the 1st. And we'll see if that holds into the rest of this week. South Dakota not showing up anything terribly dry. If you go over to our east there, Minnesota, Iowa, southeast, and south into Nebraska, still has some real dry regions. But the driest of all still seems the exceptional drought area down southwest Oklahoma, Altus over to Vernon, Texas. That's kind of the epicenter of it, that in the southern part of the Central Valley of California.
Rick Shields, our Midwest Communication Farm Director. Stay in the sun.
It's where I want to be.
All right, Rick, thanks for joining us. We'll talk next week.
Take care.
Agriculture is the economic backbone of South Dakota, and our crops are among the finest in the world. Rock Nelson is the International Marketing Director of the Sioux Falls Development Foundation and Chamber, and Director of the Small Business Development Center's International Trade Center, and he's a certified global business professional.
And, geez, when does it stop, Bill?
Well, that's as far as I can go.
Doing it all.
That was the longest sentence I've written on an intro in a long time. He joins us to share why these foreign exports, the commodity trade, the processors, and the producers continue to come to South Dakota to learn more about our ag product quality and availability, and really to learn as what he calls farm-to-fork process and even the traceability of our products. How's that for an intro?
I think it was good. You did a real good job.
In a nutshell, you are saying that consumers throughout the world like our U.S.-grown ag products from South Dakota because they can trust them with our strong rules and regs.
That's correct. And thanks to the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the Federal Food and Drug Administration, they have established stringent rules in regards to products coming in that are imported, be it agriculture or other manufactured goods, as well as the same products going out. And they've got regular good control, and other countries are even patterning their rules and regulations after our U.S. rules because they like our quality and they see the success that we've had.
One of the things, Rock, we try to do in the show is not only talk to the guys in the combines, the guys in the tractors, the planters, but also to the consumers. And when we start saying agriculture brings in a lot of dollars that affect a lot of programs in the state, that becomes community-wide, statewide.
That does. And it helps better the bottom line for the farmers, and exporting is an extra market that should be looked at. We should remind ourselves that 95% of the world's consumers live outside of the U.S., and they have 70% of the world's purchasing power outside of the U.S. And if you aren't exporting, you're tapping only 5% of the market. So it's crucial that we look at markets overseas.
I'm sure we have people out there that are saying, so what kind of export commodities would we have out of South Dakota?
The products that are coming out of South Dakota primarily in this order are corn, soybeans, wheat, beef, and pork. And it's interesting to note that countries such as China, India, Indonesia cannot keep up with the emerging people that are falling into the middle class. They want to better themselves by having more red meat, more grains, eat healthier, purchase more ag machinery and equipment so that they can start to develop their farmlands like we are. But on the other hand, they love American products.
What we want to, I'm sure, encourage those countries to do is to trade with South Dakota.
And that's what we're doing. Thanks to Governor Dugard, who is undertaking his third international trade mission to China the first week in May and the second week in May. He's really striving to get the word out that South Dakota exports of agricultural product are number one and building up some tremendous relationships. I know he's taking close to a dozen, if not more, businesses over there, and some of them are in value-added ag. In other words, processed South Dakota foods that they would see on their shelves. And so we're really excited about his continuing on to push further in the exporting field.
We would expect to hear corn, soybeans, wheat, beef, and pork, but you had some of these value-added products that you mentioned there, which included honey and wool, whey, and some dried distillers grain. What's that about?
Dried distillers grain is a co-product that's high in protein. It's a feed supplement that is used for poultry, hogs, cattle. I believe you can feed it like 15%, and countries over in Southeast Asia are ordering a lot of it. It's a byproduct, but it's in real high demand as far as supplementing the feed.
Our largest trade partners?
Our largest trade partners in this order are Mexico with $315 million that they buy of South Dakota products, Canada at $210 million, China at $54 million, Japan at $44 million, and Hong Kong at $7 million. And it's interesting to note that where Governor Dugard is going over to China, their population grows each month by the same population that we have in our entire state. Over 800,000 a month is their growth, and that's what we have for South Dakota citizens. So there are indeed needs for our high-quality ag products.
Rock Nelson, director of the Small Business Development Center's International Trade Center. Let's visit again in a couple of weeks to talk more about South Dakota trade and why we need to do it.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm looking forward to coming on in the future.
You betcha. Luke Rendell is our banking partner in Mitchell with Plains Commerce Bank. Luke, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning, Bill. It's been a while. Nice to hear your voice again.
It's good to hear your voice, too, my friend. We'd like to get an update from you on the mood of the farmers in your Mitchell area, particularly with the announcement by the USDA last week, soybeans versus corn.
Yeah. A lot of the producers, I think, are staying relatively optimistic. You know, we're still seeing our producers looking at acquiring more land, more farm ground. You know, a lot of our farmers, I guess I would agree with Rick earlier that most everybody is accustomed to doing rotational crop farming, with the exception of a few that maybe want to go corn on corn. It's influenced them, I guess, with the price of the soybean, where we've seen, you know, just looking at break-evens, more profits are there, potentially there for the planting the soybeans. So it has maybe influenced a small bit of our farmers to go to soybeans versus corn on corn this year. But overall, I think everybody's optimistic, but, you know, cautious, worrying about if we're going to get moisture. That's a big concern still.
Luke Rendell, Plains Commerce Bank. Okay, as a banker now, I want you to talk as a banker. When you look at the price of soybeans, you look at the price of corn, somebody wants to come in and they want to be able to show what they're going to have dollar-wise. Do you tell them to plant soybeans or do you let them make their own decision?
Well, I'm not the manager of their operation. I always tell them that. I'll show them the numbers. We'll go through break-evens, but ultimately it's the producer's responsibility, and you know, I'm just here to guide them, help them the best I can to help them make wise choices, but ultimately it's the producer's operation, and we leave that up to the producer. We don't like to control what they do for their farming operations, so we just try to guide them and give them the knowledge that we have to help them be successful.
Luke, if you will, tell us about Plains Commerce and why it should be a friend, a big deal for those on the farm and obviously in the cities too.
Yeah, absolutely. We're a pretty diversified bank here. We've got specialists in every sector of lending that we have, whether it be ag or commercial small business. On the consumer side, we're pretty big in the mortgage area there too. You know, we've got great deposit products also. We've got the products that can be tailored to pretty much meet anybody's needs.
All right, we have said enough out there. We got some people in their tractors, their people in their pickups going down the road. How do they reach you guys at Plains Commerce?
At Plains Commerce here in Mitchell, we're at 1200 South Burr Street. I know a lot of guys are out in the tractors or calving season right now. It's pretty busy to get in here. But you can give us a call at 996-1102. You can find us on the internet also at www.plainscommerce.com.
It's like you do it every week. You do good work, Luke.
Well, thank you, sir. You do too.
Luke Rendell, Plains Commerce Bank.
Thank you, Bill.
We welcome Tyler Samuelson and Summit Contracting to our agribusiness microphones. Tyler, good morning.
Good morning.
We have a lot of talk on the air about the crops this year, soybeans versus corn, all of this and that. But regardless of what you're going to put in those bins, in those storage facilities, you need to make sure it's a good, strong facility. Summit does that?
Yes, we do. We offer what we feel and what the market feels is some of the strongest and well-made grain storage facilities and material handling products out there.
Now, as I understand it, this sounds like a football team. You go any place, anytime, anywhere, and make sure that people get a relationship that will last a lifetime and that you'll have high quality and great service in every building.
You know, I get asked that a lot. We've traveled as far as 8 hours, you know, to do a job from our location in Platt. We built a relationship with that client. We're already talking about going back to do more projects with them. And as far as the relationship goes, we're I'm a young man. My business partner is a young man. We're a young company, but we want people to know we're going to be around for a long time. We truly believe in what it is that we do and what we sell, and that's why we feel we offer some of the best products out there. We didn't pick our product lines overnight. We did a lot of research, and we wanted to feel comfortable with what we were going to offer because we have to stand behind our products for generations to come.
One of the things in our show is that we've been told by Secretary of Agriculture in Washington, Secretary of Agriculture in South Dakota, and a lot of the leaders is we need to point to the next generation of farmers. And I would guess you run into a lot of this, dad buys it, the kids get it, and it needs to last a long time, and you got to keep both generations happy.
And that's very true. It's not very often we sit down at a kitchen table with a farmer and a young individual, whether it's his son or a daughter, is sitting at the table going over the numbers right there with us, asking just as many questions. It might be dad that's been successful here and is going to pay for the project, but you know, there's a son or daughter sitting right there that is going to be just as equally successful and wants to make sure that what they're going to inherit in the future is a product that they can live with as well.
Summit Contracting, how do people reach you? What's the best way to find you? And we know we're introducing you to a whole new audience today.
Yeah, this day and age, the best way is going to be on our website. We've got a great website that certainly says a lot about our different products. It's SummitContractingSD.com. You can go on there and find all of our information on product lines, information on our phone numbers, where we're located. We are currently building a new office facility. It's just 1 mile west of Platte, right across from the Platte Livestock Market, and we hope to be in that here in the next couple of months.
From what research I have, it says you do a great market share, you have a good product, better services, and they're your crews that do the work.
Yeah, when it comes to our buildings, our guys put them up, and we feel that's it's a very important piece of the puzzle because we can better control the quality, the timing, making sure we're there when people want us there or when we say we're going to be there.
You appear to me, and I get to meet a lot of people in the farm side and the business side, very intent on what you do, very serious about it, and you kind of show me that you have the clients in mind and that it's your word that's out there with every product that goes out the door.
It kind of goes back to what I said earlier. I'm a young guy, and this isn't something that I inherited. It's something that that we've developed over the last several years, and it's something that we feel very passionate about. It's something that we know we're going to have to live in and work with for a very long time. So you're correct. We're very passionate about what it is that we do and how we do it.
The strength of Summit, what should that mean?
You know, we're a strong company. We offer excellent products. We've got good crews. We've got good guys on our crews. We're not a fly-by-night company. Even though we may travel to your town or your area for the first time, it doesn't mean we won't be back, and it doesn't mean we won't come back. I had a client here recently ask me why he should buy a bin from me, and he's several hours from our home location, and he was worried about service, and I told him I wouldn't sell it to him if I couldn't service him.
One of the things that's changed through the years, and it was years ago that I was on the farm, we had bins that were there, we had buildings that were there. A lot of the names that were on those buildings are no longer there today. They're not in business. But the strength of Summit, the fact that you're starting at an age that's not really young, really experienced, really trained, looks like you've been schooled right on the street, is just having the street smarts and having the business sense as well. You're going to try to take care of people.
We are. When we go with Lester Buildings, Lester's been around for many generations. They manufacture all their own pieces for their building. They're completely engineered buildings, not just components. A lot of people will offer an engineered building, so they say, even though it's probably just engineered parts, not an engineered complete building. Nucor Metal Buildings is the largest metal manufacturer in the United States. GSI has by far the largest market share when it comes to grain bins and commercial grain bins especially. They're a very strong, very well-known grain storage and material handling company. And with those types of products, that's what gives us our competitive edge, we feel. We don't want to offer something that's less than the best.
All right, we got people out there listening today. How do they start the process to work with you at Summit Contracting?
They can call us on the phone. It's not always the best way to get a hold of us because we're on the phone a lot. But otherwise, you can go onto our website at SummitContractingSD.com. We have a link on there to inquire about projects, and you can put in what it is that you're looking to do, and we'll take that information. We'll put together a little presentation and get all the information that you need, and then we'll come meet with you. We've got salesmen on the road, traveling salesmen. We've got myself and other people in our office that will schedule a time to sit down at your kitchen table and go through your project and then get to know you and your your operation.
Tyler Samuelson, Summit Contracting. Thanks for joining us today. We know people are going to want to talk with you. It's going to be a big year in farming in South Dakota.
Well, thank you.
Last week, our friends at Holt McDowell hosted our agribusiness show. It was the sixth floor of the Sharapa building. The first hour centered around the final call-in day for the Affordable Care Act. This morning, well, the Stark boys are in our Phillips Street location, and they'll even talk with a guest in just a couple of minutes that has come back. We don't have the bagels that they did, but we do have Roger and Travis. They're the Midwest, and they modestly are known as experts for farmers and what the farmers really should have coverage-wise. That's a polite way of saying you guys know what you're doing. Did you figure that out?
Good morning, Bill. Appreciate it.
You went a long ways.
Yeah. Well, always try to help where you're at. Later, we're going to be checking in, trending with iGrow.org with Matt Knipling at SDSU and Jamie Crew from the Secretary of State's office. But for now, guys, we're closer to a planting time, getting into the field. What should those in our audience be thinking about right now?
There's a lot of issues going on, and as far as a producer goes, and a lot of safety issues, a lot of things we've had in our trade area, two deaths in ag-driven businesses in the last month. One to do with anhydrous and how dangerous anhydrous is and the benefits and so on. So again, safety, safety, safety. Take your time. It does happen. We had an engulfment. So I know people are taking grain out of bins and they're doing those things. Is don't crawl in there. Don't do it. And again, anhydrous, be real careful because the consequences are out there. So I guess that's what I'm more interested in than anything else. If you leave the house in the morning, come back just like you left. So
and to add on to that, we have a lot of cooperatives out there that are really focusing on the safety part of that, and they're asking for their producers to come in and be a part of some of those training sessions that they can bring that information and those techniques back to their family farm. They are the cooperative is a great resource for the producers out there to come to because they have to implement a lot of things on their farm. The cooperative has to do the exact same thing. So why not go to these people who are experts in that field and try and bring some of that information back to your farm?
So one of the things that we are doing is we are making available to our commercial customers, such as your local co-op or your local investor-owned elevator, safety material and safety classes. And those are some of the things, that whole university thing you're going to have out later, those are some of the things that we're doing is making. Then we have a web-based safety program that also goes out to our customers that if you buy the thing, it's like a $25,000 investment, but if you're a Hoalt McDowell customer, there's no investment. Only time is your investment. So we're trying to push it out to get more things. And again, your wife wants to see you come home just like you left. So,
Holt McDowell, good friends of ours and the iGrow.org sponsors. As we look at 2014, what jumps out at you as to what people should know that are going to be asking you about?
Things you can't control are probably going to be the things you don't like too much. And we think there's going to be things you can't control, such as the access to rail cars so that product gets moved, the new issues with spray and all the things that are going to happen with the new, and everybody that's in this business knows what I'm talking about, is all the changes that are going on with different varieties and different issues with seed and know where you're at. The more organized you are, the better off you're going to be as far as charting where your property is and what it is and giving it to the people that are going to be applying the product to you. And again, some of the things you can't control, rain or lack of, too much of, cold weather. So I think it's going to be another exciting year to be a farmer, and that's why that crop insurance is so important, and you should be up on how it works because it isn't like checking the oil in your car. There isn't a dipstick that you can use. It's an education process, and I think you need to educate yourself terribly on the ins and outs of this thing.
Can you stick around?
Oh, we would love to.
Okay, Beans, you didn't bring bagels. We'll let you stay one more segment only, okay? Is that is that okay?
Hey, that's twice as long as most people let us stay.
Ron Lambert is going to join us in just a second. We'll check the morning loan photo of the day, all a part of your agribusiness show.
Our kids tell us they don't.
The mortgage has the loan snapshot of the day. Craig, good morning.
Good morning, Bill.
Of course, you are the senior loan officer at Advanta. You have your camera out. What's it show?
Senior might mean I've been around for a while, but I'm not necessarily aged, right?
I was going to say, you got it just right.
Well, the mortgage-backed securities market is improving this morning. We haven't seen that improvement yet when it comes to the reflection for the interest rates. So the conventional Fannie Mae 30-year fixed rate is holding steady at 4.50% with an APR of 4.648, exactly where it was on Friday.
All right, 18-7, one size doesn't fit all. What's that all mean?
Well, we always have an on-call mortgage banker that folks can call after 5, and they can reach a loan officer, and they can visit about interest rates, loan terms, the estimated payment of houses that they might be looking at, and even get an application started. And they can do that by calling 275-2777.
All right, most asked question you're getting?
Well, what's going to happen to rates? Should I lock now, or should I wait to lock a little bit later? And so my response is that I think that rates are going to be pretty steady for throughout the whole entire summer. They're going to bounce up and down probably from 4.25 to 4.5 throughout the whole summer, but they're going to go up later on in November and December, if you ask me. So,
all right. Craig Markart, Advanta Mortgage, we'll kind of tone down that senior thing. You know, we know you're out in the community, so.
Senior, not aged.
There you go. Craig, we'll talk to you later in the week.
Very good, Bill. Thanks.
Craig Markart, Advanta Mortgage, mortgage bankers you can count on. Last week, Ron Lamberty joined us. I called him a lobbyist on the air. He didn't seem to like that, but I've never introduced anybody that liked to be called a lobbyist.
Well, I'm not even registered. I'm not a registered lobbyist. If you go out there occasionally, then I'm just someone who's providing information. That's a little different.
Now, you're actually the director of marketing?
Yeah, I do market development. Most of what I do is dealing with gas stations and pipeline facilities, that kind of thing. The people who handle ethanol need to know what kind of equipment to use, maybe if they do promotions, whether or not they should try to sell E85 or E15 or any of those kind of things. That's what I generally do is talk to people who own gas stations and who handle fuel.
I ran into Dave Kolsrud, the funding farm over in Brandon, Friday night, and he had just been over to a program they had in Worthington, which had a lot of people from South Dakota over there. There's a lot of talk going on. Is there any good going on with the talks?
Well, I mean, the ethanol plants are doing well right now. Our biggest issue probably nationally at this point is still the some of the same rail type of thing that you've been talking about earlier. We've gone from, there's some of it that has to do with weather. A lot of cold weather for a long time affected some of that. But, we have cold weather every year. The biggest issue that we think is probably affecting this is that we've gone from shipping, a couple thousand rail cars of oil every year to, I think there's over 400,000 now. It's a huge number. And so that's impacting a lot of what we see. And for some reason, even though we've got that, ethanol's had that food versus fuel thing thrown at us, this is a literal food versus fuel, and the oil trucks are moving first. I mean, the oil trains are moving first, and that's holding back grain shipments, that's holding back ethanol shipments, and as a result, then the price of ethanol gets higher, and then as soon as it gets higher, I mean, we've had, over the last 5 years, I think ethanol's been higher 35 days, 50 days maybe out of those 5 years, but it makes the news every time it is, so... who knows whose fault that is, if it's being actually, if it's actually something that's being manipulated by the oil companies so that they get better treatment on a pipeline thing or because they want oil faster because the price keeps going up, who knows what it is. But it's been an irregular winter for moving our product. And that's supposed to level out. It's supposed to, I mean, the weather's getting better. So if weather was truly the only reason, it should be fine here. And you've seen some of the prices have dropped over the last week. We saw some drops, and so it's coming back to normal.
The Starks from Holt McDowell have been working on a program, and they are generally with us, you know, whether we need it or not. They're with us on Monday.
Hey.
But you've been talking about the E15. When you hear Ron talk about what's going on, is he a good voice for the industry?
He's a great voice for the industry. He's right on. You know, the obvious sometimes escapes us because we don't notice. When you drive by that ethanol plant or that grain elevator, look and see how many cars are still sitting there. I mean, they're everywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, and you can't see the taillights disappearing, and that's what's important. They're still there. We have one ethanol plant that just had their rail cars taken out, but they still have two more loads to go. And they have incoming grain. They got rail cars stacked up everywhere. And if you drive that Highway 23 corridor, you see trains parked there all the time because they're waiting for a change of drivers, if you would. But there's a crew change, and they just get somewhere and stop, and they may sit there for hours. So, huge problem.
Ron, last week you mentioned something that surprised me, politics being politics, was that one of the biggest advocates is our Secretary of Agriculture, Vilsack, being a proponent of ethanol, while the president doesn't seem to be.
Well, I think, you know, the president has been positive about it. I think there's times when, because there's so much anti-ethanol rhetoric out there, fueled mostly by different groups that the oil companies are paying to get everybody riled up. But I think the president has backed off of saying the word ethanol, but his policies have generally been supportive. But Secretary Vilsack is unafraid of saying the word ethanol, and he's out there promoting ethanol, promoting farmers. He came to our fly-in that we had 2 weeks ago, and one of the things that I thought was really interesting and kind of something you've touched on earlier today is, you know, he's talking about 1% of the people that provide the ability for all the rest of us to do the things that we do, because back in the day, you had to feed your family first, and now you've got 1% of the population that feeds everybody so that you can go out and, in his case, be a lawyer, you can go out and sell insurance, I can go out and promote ethanol. That's, you know, that's part of the thing. But then you've also got in rural America the fact that, you know, the two things that aren't going to go away on this planet is we're going to need more energy and more food. And we have the ability to do both of those right here in the Midwest. And it's part of what's kept our economy from sinking to the depths that a lot of the other parts of the country have. So it's a good message. And I think it's one that basically he's trying to tell people, you know, you need to be aware of what these farmers are doing for you, whether you're in the ag business or not, farmers make a lot of the things that we do possible.
Ron Lamberty, Director of Marketing Development, American Coalition. I didn't use the L word.
No, that's fine. I'll lobby occasionally. I'm not registered, so.
Okay. we get it.
Yeah, okay? Okay.
We appreciate you, and we'll talk with you soon. When we come back, there's a big farm event this weekend. We'll tell you about that and also check in with the trending and commodities.
I'm Tony Bachman with Keller.
We're in the middle of the farm show this morning. We've talked a lot of different bases. And we've got Jamie Crew in the Secretary of Agriculture's office out in Pierre. Jamie, good morning to you.
Hi, Bill. How are you doing?
You got a lot to talk about. Can you share what's trending in the Secretary's office this week?
Sure. Well, we've got a few things going on. It's definitely busy time. Today, the Secretary of Ag, Lucas Lynch, he's going to the second meeting of the Governor's Pheasant Habitat Summit. And they're actually going to be doing some discussion on reviewing and getting information from USDA, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, and other entities on habitat programs that are happening in other states. Just getting some information together on that issue. USDA will be giving an update on the farm bill at that meeting. So right now it's just really a fact-finding group.
You've got a couple of other things that you and I talked about on Friday that you wanted to include. Can you fill us in?
Yeah, sure. So we have a few things going on here in the department. we are looking for nominations for the Governor's Ag Ambassador Award. That's presented every year at our Governor's Ag Summit. And this year that will take place in Deadwood on June 27th. Nominations can be sent to us here at the department, and you can find the nomination forms on our department website. That's sdda.sd.gov, and you can search for Ag Ambassador Award. Those are due to us by April 21st. So we really look for someone who's really advocated for our ag industry here in South Dakota. The four criteria that we're looking for is this person has provided leadership to the South Dakota's ag industry. They've really championed growth and prosperity of our number one industry. They've advocated for modern ag practices and responsible stewardship of livestock and land. They've highlighted the significance of South Dakota agriculture to our global food system, and they've influenced decision makers to develop and implement sound ag policies.
All right, Jamie, we appreciate it, and your boss is going to be making a trip to Washington this week as well.
Yes. Yes, he will. The governor has actually wanted our Secretary of Ag to go to the hearing in D.C. this Thursday. That's the Surface Transportation Board hearing, and our hope is really to voice our concerns about the backlog of ag commodity rail shipments. Much of South Dakota's crop from last year are still waiting in storage to be shipped, and it really is a dire situation for our crop industry here in the state. And our producers really do depend on that rail system for shipments to operate their business in an efficient and profitable manner. So this is really an important meeting for the Secretary to attend.
We appreciate the trending report. Hope you have a good week in the Agriculture Secretary's office.
Yes, thanks, Bill. I appreciate it.
You bet. Matt Knipling is joining us via Skype this morning. He has an update at the iGrow.org Center in Brookings. Matt, good morning. Matt, for some reason. No sound on Matt's microphone. Must be a USD guy that didn't plug it in or something. We'll take a break. We'll come back, see if we can get Matt on board, because we did have sound just a little bit earlier. We'll double-check a couple of mics, see where we're at. And we'll also check commodities. South Dakota. We've got South Dakota State up and running. Mr. Matt Knipling from the iGrow.org Center in Brookings. What's trending on iGrow?
Good morning, Bill. This week on iGrow.org, just a few of the news and events coming up. We're talking about the Master Gardener Hotlines opening for the 2014 gardening season. So with the warming trend, there is hope that they're going to get their gardens in sometime. We're talking about some beef exports strong in the 2014 markets. We're still talking about the porcine epidemic diarrhea virus and taking some necessary precautions when hauling manure to make sure we don't spread any more of that disease around. We're talking about some information about the KidQuest nutritional program and how to take part in training for that program. Just a few of the events, we have some garden-based education webinars coming up. We're talking about the South Dakota 4-H Robotics Club Day. We have an event going up in West River out in Mission, South Dakota on April 12th. Some nitrate quick test new certification and recertification training on April 15th. We're still working on some pork quality assurance and transport quality assurance classes up in Watertown on April 17th. And as always, check iGrow.org for more information.
Matt Knipling at the iGrow Center in Brookings. We hope you have a good week. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you very much.
Scott Verlich, Coima K-Mig Commodities, is on the phone. We have gone from Pier to Brookings, and now we go over to Sioux Center. Mr. Scott, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bill.
Hey, we introduced you on the show last week, and then you did the commodity reports. What should be key as we watch those numbers this week?
Well, we had such a pretty good sell-off there at the end of the week on a lot of these commodities that there's been quite a bit of fun buying that's happened over the last, since about the first of the year. If you'd have bought one of everything, boy, you'd have been smiling pretty well right now. So we're starting to see some of those funds maybe you know, move that money somewhere else. So a lot of these markets are starting to set back a little bit or trading a little bit more choppy than they were. So trying to find out how far these breaks are going to go, especially on the cattle. Hogs have broke $10. And now the grains, you know, they're still on the top side yet, but getting a little bit more choppy. They're not moving up as high as fast as they were.
Scott, the one topic they kept bouncing around in the show were the rail cars and the hearing that they're having in Washington this week. We heard from the chief marketing guy with the American Coalition. We heard from the governor's office, who is headed to a rail hearing in Washington, D.C. this week. How much difference does it make that we have enough rail cars to move the grain, move the ethanol?
Yeah, that's pretty important. We've become dependent on that in the Midwest for sure. As the acreage expands, we're planting more corn and other grains, I guess, in you know, South Dakota especially, and up into North Dakota. We've relied on that rail system to get that grain out of there, and we found out how key that is once we started to have a little problem with that on what that can do to prices. And you can see it in the basis. You've got 70 cents under you know, some of those areas in South Dakota on corn, and you get over here into Sioux County, Iowa, where it was only 7 under for a while, and now it's kind of slipping to 20 under, but not able to get as much for your cash grain as we should be to what the market's telling us it's worth.
Scott Verlich, Coima K-Mig Commodities, will listen for your report at 11:30.
Thanks, Bill.
Todd Neuberger, Edward Jones has the Main Street to Wall Street report. Todd, how are you doing this morning?
Very good, Bill. Morning, everyone. Todd Neuberger of Edward Jones bringing you the daily financial market report. U.S. stocks are extending their Friday losses as investors gear up for the unofficial start of the quarterly earnings seasons. Alcoa is scheduled to release results after the close tomorrow, and other notable companies, including J.P. Morgan Chase and Wells Fargo, are later this week. Much like recent economic data, investors are expected to be keen observers to the effect of the deep winter chills had on businesses throughout the first quarter of this year. So far this morning in the S&P 500, the best performing sector is utilities, while the worst performing sector is consumer discretionary. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was off 105 points at 16,307. The S&P 500 index is down 8 at 1,857. And the NASDAQ is down 21 points at 4,106. Volume on the New York Exchange has traded about 200 million shares. Decliners are outnumbering advancers by a 3-to-1 margin. In some other commodity markets, gold is down $3 at $1,301, silver up 3 cents at $19.99, and crude oil prices are off 30 cents at $100 per barrel. In some stocks of local interest, Daktronics is down 23 cents at $13.56. Citigroup is off 34 cents at $46.77. Raven down 30 cents at $32.01. Summit Hotel Properties is trading at 9.25, and Meta Financial Bank is down 14 cents at $43.39. This is Todd Neuberger of Edward Jones, a member of the SIPC, serving individual investors with personalized attention, long-term financial advice, last-minute IRA questions in Sioux Falls, bringing you this Wall Street to Main Street report, Bill.
And they reach you by?
Locally, 371-0375, or at todd.neuberger@edwardjones.com, or pop into the office, 3614 Southeastern Avenue, over by the Avera McKinnon Fitness Center.
Todd Neuberger, Edward Jones, have a great week.
You guys, too. Take care. Bye.
John at Valentino's has the last word, and that word is an F word, food.
Well, I'm glad you went there.
Rev was sitting here laughing. It's like, Rev, I just want to talk about food.
Yeah. Well, of course, here you got to start out and make your mama proud and start out with a salad bar. We've got one of the freshest, we're told by our customers, we got one of the freshest salad bars in town, one of the best. It's 10 feet long. We've got like 7 different specialty salads, 2 different types of tossed salads, Of course, we have the good old cookies and cream pudding to keep your energy level up. And it's not too late. We're getting close to the end of the soup season, but we still have those three soups out, pastas, pizzas, chicken, lasagna, and so much more.
Well, and it is senior day. You know, don't forget to mention that. You don't have to be as good-looking as the Rev.
No, we haven't found any ugly seniors in South Dakota yet. But our rate is only 55 also, so we get some of those younger people not expecting a senior discount, and they look at us kind of funny if we, you know, mention if they're a senior or not. So we usually just say, is there anybody 55 or older yet? So.
Well, and the other thing I would mention, you know, you have some visitors that might be here from North Dakota, Minnesota, Iowa, Nebraska, and they don't have to be good looking to be from those states, do they?
No, not really. Not really. That's just, we try not to set the bar too high.
All right.
Well, you let Bill in there, so it must not be.
I know, and I need to get back by there. 41st and Willows, where you find Valentino's. They're not a Johnny come lately. They've been around here for 23, 24 years.
It's funny you say that. It used to be Here's Johnny's where they are.
Really?
It was called Here's Johnny's before Valentino's, yes.
Unbelievable. Yep. All right, our time's up. John, thank you.
Yep.
Thanks for joining us on the Ag Show. Thank you, Rev. My time's up. Thank you for yours.
Hello, News Talk.